Amen. Don't we need him? Praise the Lord. If you turn in your Bibles to locations, 1 Corinthians 16, verse 13, and then 1 Samuel chapter 4, New Testament, 1 Corinthians 16, and Old Testament, 1 Samuel chapter 4. As you're turning, this is a unique Father's Day for me. It's the first time in 26 years I don't have one of my kids here. Even my 10-year-old's out traveling around. And so I'm preaching with a handicap this morning. Don't forget our evening service. It's going to be a special service as well. For years we had the women in worship on Mother's Day night. Now we have equal time. Starting last year, tonight we have men in ministry. And especially, we're depending, especially young men that's in youth choir and all of our men that's in adult choir, we're especially depending on you to be here at 6. Any of you other men, you may not normally sing in the choir, be here at 6 to practice a song for this evening. And our men will have the service tonight in its entirety. Board meeting Tuesday night, and I got everything out of order here on Tuesday, but 10 o'clock at morning's prayer meeting, Wednesday's family worship night, and Saturday at 10 is Elisha and Esther. Would you stand for the reading of God's word? Now, ladies, this is your morning to say amen. I'm going to be preaching to us men. And so I'm going to need your help as ladies just to say amen, preach it, brother, whatever your line is. You say it this morning, praise God. Unless your line is hurry up or quit, don't say it then. 1 Corinthians 16, Paul said, "Watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit you like men, be strong." Old Testament, 1 Samuel chapter 4, verse 9. And Brother Mike, if you'll just leave this up until we have to change it, or after you put the title, you can go back to this. "Be strong and quit yourselves like men, O you Philistines, that you be not servants unto the Hebrews as they have been to you. Quit yourselves like men and fight." I want to preach this morning on quit you like men to all of us, fathers, young men, all of us. If you're a male, this message is for you this morning. Quit you like men. You can be seated. I believe that the greatest contributor, the single greatest contributor of the destruction of our marriages, our homes, our American society, comes from men not assuming the role for which God designed them. Satan's able to advance because of that. I believe the very decay of our society, the losing of a generation, is the lack of a strong male figure in our children's life. I think statistics would bear out that the majority of teen suicides, the crimes that youth commit, the very problems at school come as a result that there is a missing strong male figure in the home, or there's a presence of a benign male figure. It's just that way. Now, I know this verse that you look at from the Old Testament. I know the Philistines were God's enemies and the Hebrews God's people. But the Hebrews had sinned, and so there's going to be a victory here by the Philistines. But you see, notice what these Philistines realized. They realized the truth that today's men and father and young men need to get. What the Philistines realized that if they did not fulfill their role as men, their enemy was going to destroy them. If they would not stand up and be men, there was going to be destruction. These men faced not only their own demise, but that of their wives and their children and their nation. They faced the destruction of their home, their very way of life. And so the call comes out to be brave, to be courageous, to be defenders, and to quit ye like men. Be strong. Listen, if you're in this predicament and you're defending your home and your family and your nation against an attacking enemy, you don't put women on the front line. You don't put girls on the front line. You don't put boys on the front line. When you're facing an enemy and destruction from that enemy, you put the men on the front line. That's what these Philistines were saying. It's up to we men. If we men don't stop the enemy, there's going to be destruction. Our homes are going to be destroyed. Our children killed. It's up to we men. Even by physiological design, men are designed to be the defenders and the fighters. There's no women in the NFL that I know of. Maybe I should say there's no ladies in the NFL. It's an anomaly, an exception if there is. Why? Because they're not designed for that kind of activity. And the Philistines cry in the face of this advancing danger was, quit you like men. That doesn't mean stop being a man. It means to present yourself as a man. I can't tell you that Paul had this Old Testament story in his mind when he wrote to the Corinthians, but I believe it's very possible because he knew that Christians were going to suffer attack, the attack of their faith, the attack of their lives, the attack on their homes. He knew Christians would face that. And so he urges the same in Corinthians, quit you like men. I know he's saying it to every believer, regardless of their if they're female or male. He's saying to every believer, be courageous, be brave, be steadfast. But I think it applies particularly to men, because God designed the genders so that a man is to be the fighter, a man is to be the defender. And so I'm preaching to you what Paul said, the Philistine said. He said, quit you like men. I'll say it like we'd say it today, man up. Amen. I'll say it like Brother Zach and I would say it, cowboy up. Amen. Quit you like men. Amen. I hope you hear this out this morning, because I think we're facing the demise of our society, the demise of our family and marriage and churches, because folks, males have failed to heed the call to quit like men and to be a man. What does it mean to be a man? You know, years ago, when our kids, we were homeschooling them and we were teaching them in the Abeka curriculum, we're teaching them the alphabet. When you got to the letter Q, they used the latter half of the Corinthians verse, and the letter Q was, quit you like men. And I remember with Micah and Ashlyn, when we would teach them that, we'd always make that motion, quit you like men. We'd flex our muscle, and they'd look at me and say, wow, Dad, wow. No, they didn't. But we would do that. That was to fix it in their mind. We would do this, be strong. And that was to fix it in their mind what that verse was talking about. I'll never forget a conversation I heard when I was between 10 and 12 years old. I was in the vestibule of my church. That was when hippies were going strong and all of that. And just a lot of things were happening. And there was some sissiness, you know, coming into society. And I remember the men back in the foyer before church or after church one night, they were talking about men didn't need to be sissies. Men needed to be men. And even though I was that young, I'll never forget one of the brothers spoke up and he said, yes, I believe a man ought to be a man. He ought to even stink a little bit when you get close to him. So one of the ladies said, amen, we're in luck. You can wait till next Saturday for your bath. But you see, in our world, there's two competing concepts of what it means to be a man. In our world today, one concept of a man is the man's man. Now, he's a man's man. To the world, that's all about muscles and athletic feats and stunts that are dangerous and cage fighting and breaking boards and bricks with your head. I mean, that's a man's man. That's one of the world's view of a man. I've even heard a man and a preacher in our circles, and I esteemed this man, but I thought it was peculiar, you know. He said, you ought to teach your sons to be men. Have them go out and shoot a deer and skin it and get blood on their hands. And being a hunter, I'm a hunter, but I really don't think that necessarily means you're a man just because you can skin an animal. But that's the world's concept of a man's man. I mean, to them, to the world, this one concept of being a man is to climb in a cage and get your teeth knocked out and your head bashed in and your eyes gouged out while you're trying to do it to the other person. And they'll say, "Whoa, that's a man." That never did impress me. I learned that a long time ago in junior high. Listen to me, young man. I learned that in junior high. I mean, I get with my friends. We get around girls we thought were cute and we wanted to impress them. So we'd start punching on each other as hard as we could in the arm. We'd get down and we'd wrestle in front of them. I don't know her name. I don't even remember her face, but I remember one time she got me alone and she called my name. She said, "You know, every time you boys get around us, you start wrestling and hitting each other because we think it makes you look tough." "It don't make you look tough," she said. "It makes you look silly to us." Silly. That's the world's concept. One other concept of a man is a man's man, a muscle-bound, athletic gorilla. But the world has another concept of a man, and that is the metro male. This is what you see in much of the media today. I'll just read you a literal definition. A metro male is a good-looking, fashionable young man who pays special attention to style and taste, who displays the levels of care and pride in their appearance, which is usually associated with women. But they're not deemed to be homosexual, but they're known to carry man bags, hand lotion, get facials, and also get their nails done. I want to see a show of hand from our men. How many got a facial this week? These are men that cry when they lose. Now, it sounds foolish to us, but this is an image that the world is trying to impress upon our society and say that this is a male. You know, look at the competing difference here. The Bible says to men, be strong. The world says get in touch with your feminine side. Your name is Ed, but there's a Sue living on the inside. Talk to your inner Sue. That's the world's philosophy. Even to our world, it's politically incorrect to think or declare that there's any difference between women and men. Men have been emasculated. They can't open doors for women. I've done that, and they look at me like I've insulted them. Men can't fight or defend. Amen. And so men in our society have become confused as to their identity. Even if they've been taught they're no different than a woman, they have no different role, they have no different abilities, and therefore men are asking the question, who are they? We're going to answer that question in a minute. But let me tell you something about TV in our media. I'm going to first of all give you an illustration about preachers, and you see if this isn't true. In movies and the media today are not preachers usually portrayed as weak individuals, hypocritical individuals, alcoholics, womanizers. Rarely will you ever see a preacher treated in the media as a strong person of character. Just a bunch. And so by the same token, television portrays men as fumbling galoots, cavemen who grunt every now and then and break things. They'll either show a man that way or they'll show a man as a sissified, lisping, weak-wristed emulator of women. I mean, I want you to think, I don't know how much you watch, but if you do, I want you to think of how many, or I should say how few, if any, strong father figures with an admirable character are ever portrayed in our media today, unless it's a Christian emphasis movie. It's just not there. If dad is portrayed, he's portrayed as a bumbling idiot or a feminine acting hybrid. Mostly, it's only the homosexual men in the media who are portrayed as admirable and humorous and kind and caring. But just a regular dad, there's always some big flaw in him, as I've mentioned. But I tell you, the reason for that is the world cannot tell us what a man is. I said the world cannot tell us what a man is. I think to know what a man is, we need to revisit the manual. We need to revisit the book of the creator of man and see what the Bible says is man. We need to look on how God designed man. I tell you, anytime you mess with God's design, you make a mess. What is a man? Quit you like men. What is a man? Be strong. I've laid a kind of a lengthy foundation, but I'm going to say this in just a little bit. I'm going to have us revisit God's design for man and men across the building. I want you to hear this. I want to tell you from the Bible, preaching to myself as well, of what a man is. First of all, a man is a worshiper. A man is a worshiper. From the very beginning, Genesis 3:8, they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the evening. And Adam headed out. He who had had the breath of God breathed in him, he headed out to worship and commune and fellowship with God. In the last book of the Bible, Revelation chapter 4, thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. Man was created to be a worshiper of God. I think one of the things that's killing the Christian home, it's killing the church, is the lack of a spiritual male figure. A male who is a worshiper. In church after church, there's a greatly disproportionate amount of spiritual women to spiritual men. Amen. Children, listen, this is an important thing. Children rarely develop into strong believers without strong spiritual male leadership. It rarely happens. I know you've heard it, but I want to say it one more time. A church is only as strong, a family is only as spiritual as its male leadership. That's just the way it is. Man is to be a worshiper. In the Catechism of Protestantism for years, it says, it begins with the question, what is the chief end or the chief purpose of man? And it answers it, man's chief end is to glorify God and to enjoy him forever. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, man was created to be a worshiper. That's why I'm glad to see our men in this service this morning. All creation was created to worship God. But man is a thinking, feeling, willing worshiper. Hallelujah. And from the beginning, it was that way. I don't think they were lounging around in the garden. And it was Eve that said, it's about time. It's the cool of the evening. It's time we take our walk with God and talk with him. And I don't think it was Eve that spoke up and said that. I believe it was Adam as they were lying there eating the fruit that looked and saw the position of the sun. And he looked at his wife Eve and he said, Eve, honey, I think it's about time that we go out there where we walk with God and we fellowship with him. I believe it was Adam that took the initiative. He was the worshiper. And I want to say to our men, a real man is the lead worshiper in his family. Hallelujah. He attends church. I want to commend our men. We have men that work 10 hours on a Wednesday and they're in service on Wednesday night. Oh, that's a man right there. Amen. If you got that kind of husband and wife, you ought to look at him right now and say, you're a man. You're a real man. I mean, you're a worshiper. I'm telling you, a real man attends church. A real man, when he gets there, he sings, he worships, he prays, he lifts his hands. I believe a real man, and that's our custom here. I believe a real man, he takes trips to the altar. He responds to altar call. I want to commend our young fathers that are here. I watch them service after service bring their children with them to the altar. Got them under their arm here as they pray. I'm telling you, I'm looking at a real man when I see somebody that'll do that. So a man is a worshiper. What about it, ladies? And then a real man is a worker. From the beginning, Genesis 2:15, and the Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. That's an old English word. To dress literally means to work the ground, to work at taking care of something. It means to cultivate and labor. Now listen, the garden was a perfect place. God created a perfect world with a perfect garden, yet in a perfect world, God gave man, Adam, gave him a job. He said, you go into that perfect garden and you be a worker. You take care of it. You work that place. You prune whatever needs to be done. You do it. God put Adam in that garden, not just to walk with him in the cool of the evening. He put Adam in the garden to work it. I want to say to we men this morning and boys, wherever God calls you to work, you work in that field. Amen. Whatever field God has put you in, you work there. You want to know what a real man is? He's a worker. He's a worker. Men work because they were designed to work. It's in them. Men work to provide and take care of themselves. But men work to take care of their spouse and their children and their family. Let me tell you something, young men. You may not be married yet, but it's okay if a man's a little bit dumb. And it's okay if a man's quite a bit ugly. And it's okay if a man's not much of a talker, as long as he's a worker. How many of you women would agree with that statement? A man was created to work. A lot of things can be forgiven and overlooked in a male, but not the failure to work. Amen. There's nothing worse to be said of a male than he won't work. Now, I know some are without work and you can't find it. We're not talking to you. We're talking about those that have every opportunity, but they find a way to avoid it. That's not a man. I had a renter one time and I had to go see about getting the rent, and I asked him, I said, how's your job going? He said, oh, I quit for a while. I said, you quit for a while? He said, yeah. He said, I thought it'd be nice to stay home and spend more time with my family. Had little kids in the house. That wasn't a real man talking. A real man talking said, give me one job, two jobs, however many jobs it takes, because I'm going to provide for those kids. I'm going to make sure they have shelter and food on the table. Amen. In the fallen world that we live in, as God said, we'll work by the sweat of our face, our brow. And if a man doesn't work hard in this fallen world, his family will suffer. It takes hard work to provide. I commend our men. They work hard to provide. I want to tell you, a deadbeat dad that will not take care of his children and provide for their needs, he's not a man. If there's ever a sissy, it's that person. A man who will not work is not a man. You see, it's not just demanded of a man that he work because that's the only way to provide for his family. But listen, it's this way. God created a man to work, and it's only when he's a worker that he'll feel fulfilled. He'll be satisfied. He'll find fulfillment in applying himself and realizing a return, in building something, in accomplishing. And one more time before I move on, a man is a worker. That means a lot of you ladies and children have a lot to be thankful for, because we have some real men in this house who work long, hard hours to provide for their family. And then, next of all, from the Bible, a man is a watcher. Look in chapter 2, verse 15 again. The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. The word keep literally means to watch over, to make sure something is safe. Here's the point. God created man in such a way that whatever God entrusts into man's care, man is to keep that thing. If God gives you an automobile, you keep it. If God gives you a wife, you keep it. You watch over it. If God gives you children, you watch over them. If God gives you a home, finance, you watch over them. As a worker, the man wields the sword. As a worker, man wields the plow. But as a watcher, man wields the sword. He is a defender. Now, I want to tell you one more time, a real man is a watcher. But you know, people can take what you preach wrong. How many knows that? And some folks, they've already heard. Pastor Hurst said, man's a watcher. That's what I am. I watch my wife wash dishes. I watch my wife vacuum. I watch my wife take out the trash. I watch my wife mow the lawn. I watch my children throw fits. I watch my children break things. I'm a watcher. Pastor Hurst said a real man's a watcher. I'm not talking about someone that observes. I'm talking about one that looks out for. He's on guard. He's a sentry. Years ago, we were dorm supervisors when we first married. Mary and Ashlyn came along. We were living in the dorm apartment joined to the dorm. And all those dorms had metal doors. And those things get warped after a while. And if you know how to pop them just right, even though they're locked, they'll come open. One night, I had the door locked. And in the night, a big storm came up. And I've got to take over here and tell you from Sanders' perspective. But in the middle of the night, a gust of wind blew the door wide open. No screen door, no storm door, just that metal door. Blew it right open, right into our living room. Sanders said she reached over and shook me and said, "Honey, honey, the door came open. The front door's open." And she said, I looked back at her and said, "Well, go check it out." I was asleep. How many believe your pastor? I was asleep. I was sleep talking. She said, I got up and had to go in there and shut the door, and you were still in bed. But it ought not to be that way. When the door blows open, it's Dad that's the watcher. Dad's the door locker, the window closer, the sentry watching for the wicked one. I used to get so aggravated at my dad when I was a child. We'd get ready to go anywhere. We'd just get out in the car, and all of a sudden he had to go back in, check every window, every door, rattle everything, check every gas knob, valve, everything. How many remember it as a child? And then, you know what I do now? Same thing. Why? Dad is the watcher. Amen. I ask all my kids every time they leave, did you turn your curling iron off? Hannah said, I never did use a curling iron. And Andrew said, I don't use one either, but I'm still checking. I'm still checking. I'm the watcher of my family. Amen. You watch what's coming into your house. And I'm not talking, Dad, just about watching out for the thief that comes into your house. I'm talking about watching what kind of TV program comes in, what kind of movie, what kind of friend, what kind of attitude, what kind of video game. You're the watcher of your home. You're the keeper of your home. When my kids were younger, and it's still Andrew, sometimes they knew that I did, but just to feel secured, I'd about be asleep and I'd hear the voice from the back hallway, Dad, yes, what, is the door locked? And I'd answer them yes, and they'd settle down and go to sleep. Of course, we live on Union Road. You have to understand that. Amen. Dad, is the door locked? I believe that's something every child is asking their dad. Dad, is the door locked? And I believe spiritually, I want to say to you, I want to ask the question for God to you fathers. I want to ask you fathers, is the door locked? Have you locked the door against the enemy, against Satan? Are you standing there as the sentry and the guard and the watcher and say, there's some things that aren't coming into this house. I'm here to protect my family. Is the door locked? Whatever the danger or evil, a real man stands between that danger and their families and say, you're not coming further. I'm not going to get into this, but some Christians are pacifists to the point that they don't believe you protect your family. I remember a friend of mine really got caught up in this. And so someone asked him a hypothetical question. You don't go to war. You never defend yourself. They said, what if you were in a busy city and all of a sudden a gang of young men jumped out of the alley, pulled your wife there and began to abuse and to rape her? What would you do? He said, I'd just stand there and pray that God would help. No, sir, that's not a man. I don't believe in undue violence, but I believe God created man to be the watcher and the protector of his family. It's tragic news on many fronts, but how many heard the news this week when a man, I believe it was in Texas, was out and in a ranch scenario, and as he was going about his business, he heard the screams of his four-year-old daughter from the barn. And he went in there, rushed in there, and a man was abusing his daughter. And that father, for he caught himself, had hit that man so quick, so fast, so hard, it killed that man. And even the father feels so remorseful that the man actually died. But who can fault? The law won't. Who can fault a father set in motion, a Christian even, set in motion It's in him. It's built in him. You be the protector of our family. And fathers, I think every father feels like there, if that would happen to your daughter, you would be there as a watcher and a protector. And yes, something like that. But there are many things that are much more subtle. Certain friends that are ran with, certain programs that are watched, some venues of electronics and texting and this. Fathers, we need to be watchers there. Hey man, long time ago, I got a Facebook page. It's not because I'm really into that kind of stuff. You know why I got one? Because my kids got one. And I was going to be right there watching. Hey man. I got Andrew's iPod set up so whatever he does on that, it shows up on mine. We need to be watchers. Need to be watchers. I'm talking about real men. Last of all, you can add to the list, and it's a shame we'd even have to emphasize this, but I want to tell you, a man is a woman lover. By design. Oh, don't get quiet on me. I'm just preaching the Bible. Genesis chapter 2 verse 18, and the Lord God said, is it not good? It is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helpmeet for him. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept and took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones, flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. When God saw that it was good for man when God saw it was not good for man to be alone, he didn't give him another man. He gave him a woman. He gave him a woman. A man does not love romantically as he would a woman. A man does not love another man. He does not love himself. He loves a woman. And not just that he should love women as opposed to men, but a real man is a woman lover in that he values his woman. He takes care of her. He acts on her behalf. He never harms. He always protects, because as a woman lover, he values her above all. He's a protector. One of the first lessons I got is you never hit a girl. It wasn't just because you might be stronger, she might whip you. It was because you respect a woman. Down south, we was taught to open the doors. Amen. Why? Because a man is a woman lover. And I'm talking about in valuing a woman and caring for her. Women are to be treasured, whether your mom, your sister, your wife, or someone else's mom, sister, and wife. A real man values, treasures a woman. Now, you may think this is a little out. I think it's God's word. I think men should pamper women, adore them, treasure them, and esteem them. My wife gets anything she wants. She plays on that. And although I've not been talking about sensual love between a male and a female, let me address that too while I'm at it. When I say a man is a woman lover, he should only have desire for a woman, not for another male, not for a child. And by the way, when I say a man should love a woman, I'm talking about loving his woman and not somebody else's. Amen. If you're not married to her, she's not your woman. Amen. A real man, he doesn't love the graphics of women in magazines or on the internet. He loves the woman he has pledged himself to and made his vows to. Now, he esteems all women. He values all women. But the love, the sensual love, is only for his woman. You say, Pastor, you shouldn't be preaching something like it. Yeah, that's why our society is where it's at. Because the pulpit became silent on the issue. And the louder it got in the political realm, the more silent the pulpit became. But I've revisited the design of man and what God says is a real man. You know, I'm just about done, but I'm going to make this statement. The cost of not being a man is greater than the cost of being one. That kept coming to me through the whole preparation. The cost of not being a man is greater than the cost of being one. I don't know if you've been surprised at my answer this morning of what a man is. Maybe you expected me to say real men go to barber shops, not beauty parlors. I could have said that. Real men have them go ahead and pin the boutonniere to their skin instead of just to their suit jacket. So maybe you've been surprised. But I want to summarize from God's design. A real man is one who takes responsibility by being the worshiper, the worker, the watcher, and the woman lover. Would you come, music? I don't know who this fella is. I'm just going to tell you his testimonies that came to me. Maybe you'll recognize it, young people. I may not even pronounce his name right. How many knows a guy called Brian Deegan? Does anyone know who Brian Deegan is? Anyone? Brian Deegan, several years ago, was a leading figure in the freestyle motocross. He's the one that did all those high, fast somersaults, involved all that. He won it time after time. But that whole culture of the motocross they have a lifestyle filled with Nazi symbolism, tattoos, alcohol, drugs, carousing, fornication, fighting. It's just that kind of scene. They compete. You might see them on television. And Brian Deegan was the best. But he said there was three things that changed his life. He said, first of all, his girlfriend became expectant and said, "I will not abort this child." He said, number two, "I was in the middle of a high-speed backflip and had an accident and became greatly injured." And he said, the third thing, with that baby on its way, my girlfriend asked me to go to church with her, and I didn't do that normally, but this time when she asked me, I said I'd go. He said, I got in church that morning, and God got to talking to me, and I gave my heart and life to Jesus that morning, walked out of the church doors. I married that girl. I became a father to that child. I stopped drinking. I stopped doing drugs. And I started a Bible study in my house from the people I used to compete with in that sport. It sounds like he really got saved, doesn't it? You know, people that aren't raised in church, maybe their language doesn't get churchy quick enough for some folks, but I just like the way he put it. He was asked what happened to him. He said, he talked about going to church and getting saved, and he said, you know, I had kids, and I have to be a role model to represent my kids. I had to grow up. I had to be a man, be a father, and so I did it, dude. There needs to be some folks that answers the call, man up, and just say, I'm going to do it, dude. Amen. You know how you can do it? The only way anyone can truly be the man God wants him to be is through Christ in every part of their lives. Would you stand across the building? Oh, hallelujah. I don't even know how to give an altar call to this. All I know is our world is bankrupt of true men. I don't care how many teeth they knock out. I don't care how many cars they jump over. I don't care how many touchdowns they make. That's not real manhood. Real manhood is someone like I see the example of in this church. Men who protect, provide, worship God, work hard. I'm glad God knows best, don't you? How many's glad for God's design? Would you bow your heads? Again, I don't know what to do with this, but all through my preaching, I'm thinking of some men. They're good fellows. They just don't know the Lord. And if they would just accept Christ, their priorities would change in a moment. They'd start doing things a lot more on the behalf of their spouse and their children. They'd see the future. I don't even know. I found this out Sunday night, but a young man we've been praying for, I'd love to see you get saved, be on these pews every Sunday. He was listening, got a hold of me electronically and said, I was listening Sunday night. I heard what you're saying. I just believe in our nation at this time, we need men who will commit themselves to God and commit themselves to their families. We got the basketball playoffs right now. I think there's one game tonight. There'll be Christian men. They'll skip church tonight to watch a ball game. What does that say to their children? There'll be Christian men that'll ignore their wives throughout this whole season, not give her any attention just so they can keep up with the score and the stats. That doesn't impress me one bit. That doesn't impress God. But show me a man that'll walk, even though he may want to watch the game, he'll walk into church on a Sunday night with his family, have his hands in the air, worshiping God, serving God. Amen. Watch his children emulate him, lift their hands, bring them to the altar. Now there's a man right there. There's a man. Oh, hallelujah. Help me out with this altar call. I don't even know how to make it. Usually I have fathers come and their families pray for them. Maybe I'll just say this. If you're here, and I'm not saying you're not a man by answering this. I'm saying this is what you want. You want to continue to do this. But if you want to be the man God has designed and called you to be, would you just begin to come in? Would you just begin to come and stand and say, I'll be that man? In fact, the Bible says, God said, I search for a man. Would you just answer his search this morning and say, I'll be that man. I'll be that worshiper. I'll be that watcher. I'll be that one. Amen. Hallelujah. God bless these men. Would you come? Maybe you're here, you've not submitted your life to Christ. Why don't you just come say, God, I want to be what you created me to be. Not only did you create me to be that, you died and redeemed me that I might be that. Would you come and stand and say, I'll be that man. Hallelujah. Wife, children, maybe you do see your father or your husband up here. Maybe you'd like to come in behind him, lay hands on him, say, thank God I've got a man in my life. Would you like to do that? Let's let God do a spiritual work around the altar this morning. Amen. Amen. Are you here? Amen. Would you like to answer that call? I need Christ. I need Christ. Maybe that's the call you need to answer. God will help you. God will help you. God will strengthen you. Amen. Is your husband or your dad up here? Why don't you come and pray with them? Amen. Maybe we have a dad whose children aren't here, and he's in the church. He's meant something to you, this other person. Won't you come and pray with them? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you've got a worshiper wife, amen, thank God for that. If you've got a watcher, thank God for that. Hallelujah. Oh, come on, let's pray around the front. Quit you like me and be strong. We have an enemy. We have an enemy that would destroy our marriage, destroy our home, destroy the very fabric of our nature. Amen. Be a man this morning. Say, I'm going to stand against this attack. I'll stand against this onslaught. Just seeking for a moment. Holy Spirit, do a work in our hearts as men. Holy Spirit, fortify us. Holy Spirit, fortify us. Strengthen us. Put the zeal, the passion, oh Lord, for you in our hearts, for godly lives and godly families, for a powerful church that does your work. Help us, Lord. Move in our lives. Move in our hearts. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Let's let him do his work around here. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
You work through.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Be more like
hallelujah.
You.
Oh, hallelujah.
Oh, hallelujah. Be more like you.
More like you. Quit you like me and be strong. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Oh, be strong, be strong, be strong.
What a dear vessel you work through.
Oh, hallelujah.
I want to be more like
hallelujah.
You.
Hallelujah. I want to pray for us men across the front before we leave here. Heavenly Father, we're unashamed as men to say that we need you. We're unashamed to say that many times we're hurt. We get confused. We don't know what to do. We don't know where to turn. But I pray, Father, you give every man that came forward, give them understanding what your will is. Give them strength in their soul. Let them feel the pleasure that you have towards them because they are the men that you've designed them to be. Let them feel the joy of the Lord because they do worship. They have provided. They are partaking of your goodness and they are watching out for their families. Be with them, Lord. And Lord, by your Holy Spirit, strengthen them in their souls. Empower them, Lord, to go further, to stand stronger. Strengthen them in you, Lord. Bind our families together. Lord, I pray for these young men, Lord, that are on the verge of marriage or getting into the age, Lord, they'll be looking for someone to marry. God, help them to continue to be godly young men and bring godly young ladies into their life. And Lord, give them that one that they can have the family that'll serve you and live for you. Put it in their heart, Lord, not to make any changes towards this world to try to find a mate, but Lord, to continue to serve you and to live for you and to follow you. And Lord, bless our mothers and our daughters, Lord, as they stand by their father and stand by their husband. Bless them, Lord, when they don't fight their husband, but stand with them. I'm with you, honey. We'll serve the Lord together. Lord, bless these women. And Lord, bless our church. Lord, as we stand together against the approaching enemy, as we be strong, as we refuse to give in, to back up, but we'll be strong in you, Lord, and we'll overcome and triumph. Hallelujah. Thanks be to God, which always giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus, could we praise Him before we leave here this morning? Let's praise Him. Let's worship Him. Hallelujah. Let's reach up to our Heavenly Father. He stood for us. Hallelujah. He stood for us. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.